Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This presidential primary season is historic in so many ways, so it should be a great moment for parents to teach their children about the civic expression of citizen frustration, for example, or the role of race in American society, or the great push-pull between political parties and their base. The voters of tomorrow ought to be learning from the election of today. And yet, oh man, I know of so many parents who won't talk to their kids about this election. They won't let their kids watch the debates. They won't, or they don't know how to talk about what it means when something like this happens.
He hit my hands. Nobody has ever hit my hands. I've never heard of this one. Look at those hands. Are they small hands? And he referred to my hands. If they're small, something else must be small. I guarantee you there's no problem. I guarantee it.
That moment from last week's Fox News GOP debate, in a nanosecond, it was everywhere. Television, radio, social media, which is why, to even the most ostrich-like parent amongst us, Dr. Steve Schlossman says parents can and must talk about ugly 2016 politics with kids. That's the headline for a post he wrote for WBUR's Common Health blog. And he joins us now. Dr. Schlossman, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
I should also say that you're director of the MGH Clay Center for Young Healthy Minds as well. So I'm very interested to hear what you have to say about why is it you think that, even parents who don't want to talk about the ugliness and the vitriol and the vulgarity of this race should be talking to their kids about it?
Oh, wow. I mean, for a whole bunch of reasons, this is really unprecedented from what I can recall in my lifetime, both as a sentient human being. The things that are being said, and more importantly, the ways they're being said, are exactly what we don't want our kids to do. No matter what side, I don't think this is a partisan issue. I think this is about how we teach our kids to be civil. And one of the ways we might do that, we might take advantage of these debates, is point to them and say, this is what you shouldn't do.
Okay. So speaking of that moment that we played from last week's GOP debate.
The one where he was talking about his hands, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Amongst other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had your sort of own aha moment surrounding that instance.
Yeah. So I was watching the clip the next morning at the breakfast table, like a lot of people around America were. And again, I'm stressing this is not a partisan moment for me. I'm interested. I want my kids to be interested. My 10-year-old daughter was looking over my shoulder and watching it with me. And she basically said, "What in the world is he talking about?" She didn't say it that way. She said, "What does he mean?" And I said, "Well, he means his hands are big." And she said, "Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why should that matter if you're president?" And then I was realizing that there was just no good place this conversation could go. And then I was confused that we were going there at all, that this is what a political discussion with your kids has come to. And I know that sounds sort of alarmist, but the debate didn't get much better from there.
Right. So how did you resolve that? Like, where did the conversation go?
We talked about oatmeal. No. what I said is that these are so what he's saying, he's referring to, he was basically egged on by Rubio, if I remember correctly. He's referring to what another candidate has said to him, and they are both behaving in ways that I wouldn't want you to behave, even if you don't agree with what somebody says to you on the playground or in the classroom.
Okay. Hold that thought for a second, because I do want to let listeners know that I'm interested in knowing how you're talking to your kids about this political season. So we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let us know. Or if you have a question for Dr. Schlossman about advice on how to talk to your kids about this political season, call 800-423-8255 again. I mean, so Dr. Schlossman, you left off at exactly the point that I want to explore with you, because I completely get it. I mean, this is, my kids are really young, so I haven't talked to them about it at all. They don't even know there's an election going on. But for kids who are older and wanting to engage their parents with it, I'm sure a lot of parents are out there saying, you know, not just on the Republican or the Democratic side, but in general, the behavior that you're seeing on the political stage isn't necessarily how we want you to be. But on the other hand, this is, I mean, these are people who are running for the highest office of the land. So there's a disconnect there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a really, really strange and even kind of surreal moment. I came of age in the late 70s, early 80s. Reagan, you know, became elected. I was not a Reagan fan, and I grew up in the Midwest, so Reagan was very popular. But there was a level of decorum that I recall. I don't think I'm recalling that nostalgically. We're not seeing that now. So I think especially with school-age kids, it just doesn't quite make sense to them that this is the person running for president. There's a picture of the president in their elementary schools, and yet the folks running for president are behaving in ways that would get them sent to the principal's office.
Yeah. In fact, I want to actually play a piece of tape from last night's Democratic debate because, you know, again, we just want to stress this isn't partisan. The idea of people not behaving in accordance with their best selves is on display, even amongst the Democrats, I should have to say. So here's a testy exchange from last night's CNN Democratic debate between Senator Bernie Sanders and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
I voted to save the auto industry. He voted against the money that ended up saving the auto industry. Oh. I think that is a pretty big difference.
Well, if you are talking about the Wall Street bailout, where some of your friends destroyed this economy,
you know,
excuse me, I'm talking.
Let him sprung.
If you're going to talk, tell the whole story, Senator
Let
Sanders.
Me tell my story, you tell yours.
I will.
So, Dr. Schlossman, what do you make of that? Because, again, I keep coming back to this idea that schools, especially now in Massachusetts, are really working hard to teach, you know, emotional intelligence, a form of social intelligence, working together. You know, the anti-bullying campaigns are in every Massachusetts school. But right now we're seeing the antithesis of that behavior.
We are
again.
Seeing every one of those rules broken. That sounded like pro wrestling to me, what you just played. And I actually don't mind pro wrestling, but I'm also well aware that it's a show. These are folks running for a real live office. So we have this irony that you just pointed out. We teach social pragmatics in school. We have groups that help kids resolve their conflicts. We help kids to see both sides of every issue, to wear the other person's shoes. And yet the debates have become this thing that's so ugly and kind of vile and not really talking about the issues that I'd actually like to talk to my kids about.
Well, are parents right to worry that efforts to, you know, to encourage kids to be great citizens are being undermined by what they're seeing in the media now?
Yeah, I don't want to sound too alarmist about it. So I think that being a good citizen, you know, goes much further than watching the debates and then trying not to be what the folks in the debate are being in terms of the way they behave. But I think that we do need to say this is not behavior that we're proud of. And I think as a nation, I know this is kind of high and mighty for me to say, but as a nation, it would be a good time for us to take a step back and say our kids are taking note and they would give us a timeout for this.
Can I say, you know, is this something that only parents of a certain ilk are worried about? Because I take your point that a lot of people might be saying this is not behavior that we're proud of necessarily, but other people are actually proud of this behavior. We hear a lot of voters saying, I'm voting for these people because they're expressing my anger in the way that I've always wanted people to express my anger.
Yeah, no, I've heard that too, and actually you have been discussing this with friends of mine who actually don't agree with me politically. I very strongly think that there's a way to express your anger that is civil and takes into consideration the necessary compromises that allow us to be a functional society, that doesn't allow things to degenerate into the kind of back and forth that we've heard in both of those clips you played.
Okay, so let's take some calls here if we could. We're speaking with Dr. Steve Schlossman. He's Associate Director of the MGH Clay Center for Young and Healthy Minds. His most recent post on WBUR's Common Health blog is titled Parents Can and Must Talk About Ugly 2016 Politics with Their Kids. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's go to Michael, who's calling from Worcester. You're on the air, Michael.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My comments have to be put in context, and one is that I'm a psychology professor. Two is that I have a 14-year-old daughter, and the third is that I've met Donald Trump personally and spent an evening with him at a small gathering. And when I talk to my daughter about what I see on television, I use it as an opportunity to talk about hypermasculinity and the effect that it's having on the culture for all of us. And I think it's quite enlightening for her, and it's something that all young children need to be aware of.
And how do you have that conversation with your daughter? What do you tell her?
Well, I mean, you know, for example, in him talking about the size of his genitals, I asked her, what do you think he's talking about? And, of course, she's age appropriate. She can talk about that. And I asked her, why do you think he has to talk about that when that has nothing to do with being a president? And, it, you know, it leads to a conversation of ways in which young boys are being trained into that sort of ideology on a daily basis all around her, and also the boys that aren't. And so, it, for me, it's a teachable moment.
Michael, thank you so much for your call. Dr. Schlossman, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I we're preaching to each other's choir here. I agree 100% with what you're saying. I have an older daughter as well. She simply rolled her eyes and said, I can't believe guys are willing to stoop like to this level. But it does present these teachable moments where we can, again, say, you know, this culture that we are creating and are part of, we need to take a step back and look at it and see what the end results are.
Mm. Let's go to Rob, who's calling from Waltham. You're on the air, Rob.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to make the point that speaking about the most recent Republican debate, and I think your recent call just mentioned about this, is, you know, some of the debaters are talking about, or I'm sorry, the candidates speaking about the size of their private parts, and yet the one I feel who is rising above that, Governor Kasich, is not falling into that fray, and yet he seems to be getting the least amount of media attention. So part of this is kind of this self-serving cycle where the ones who are being the loudest, meaning the crudest, are getting noticed, which is kind of spinning off into allowing them to be louder and cruder because it's working. They're getting exactly what they want.
Rob, thank you so much for your call because you make an excellent point that I want to ask Dr. Schlossman about. I mean, in a way, aren't our kids basically, you know, they're seeing what through the media, some people might say it's a distorted reflection of American society and values now. Other people might say it's an accurate reflection that we talk a good talk, but what we want is something different.
Yeah, no, it's so what if you're talking about what gets ratings up, what makes people tune in and cheer and yell, you're going to have to yell and get above the fray or not above the fray, be part of the fray. If you're in a classroom, and I think that it's not a bad analogy to say that a debate ought to be like a classroom. You can strongly disagree, but you do it with respect. You don't have people cheering when you've insulted the other person. And in fact, the teacher sits on you for doing that. You have people cheering when you've made a good point, and the other person says, good point, and I don't agree with you, but I'm willing to accept that point. I think understanding how to sort of come to terms with disagreements in a civil way is really the cornerstone of what makes our society great, and that seems lost.
So then how do we, I mean, to get back to the earlier caller's point, how do we transform, parents who want to, how do they transform this moment into a teachable moment if those are the lessons getting lost?
Yeah, so I think you have to ask your child, and you have to make this developmentally appropriate. So the first caller mentioned he had a 14-year-old daughter. So she got it. She understood. And he can say to her then, there's part of our culture that's being reflected in these opening comments from that particular debate that aren't great, but also set up moments where candidates feel compelled to sort of comment on these things that takes us away from the issues that I think we really ought to be discussing. So the teachable moment is don't do that. Say to your child, if you have an issue that you want to talk about, don't start hitting below the belt, so to speak. I apologize for that pun. Instead, talk about the issues. Make sure that you state what you believe, come up with good reasons for why you believe it, and then make your case.
Do you, oh, I mean, forgive me if it sounds like I'm asking the same question over and over again, but I guess I haven't fully arrived at a place where my brain is accepting the answer. But do you have a concern that that, you know, or maybe should kids of a certain age not actually be watching some of this stuff?
Yeah, a lot of people have been asking that. There's an article in the BBC about that. It's been on the national news, international news. I think that school-age kids are going to get confused by this level of rancor.
So elementary school.
Yeah, elementary school, I'm sorry. In part because this is exactly how they're told not to behave, and they tend to think rather concretely. There are rules, and you follow these rules. That's actually the way social pragmatics work. So for that, I'm not saying that kids shouldn't be involved in the political discussions with their parents, but I think it would make sense for parents to screen this stuff ahead of time. And I'm very, very open-minded about what people should see on media. But in this case, because these people are running for the highest and most honorable office in the land, I think it would make sense for the parents to watch it ahead of time and then say to the kid, what do you think worked here? What don't you think worked here? And why? And get them to use what they've learned in their school curriculum in analyzing these debates.
Hmm. And final question for you is, is there any part of you as a parent that wonders, how is my kid processing this when it does seem that with regularity, we do sort of throw up examples as a culture of the kind of behavior that we, on one side of our mouths, we say, this is not good, but on the other side, we hold it up as the paragon of success.
Yeah, I worry about that a lot. I like watching wrestling. I like corny action movies. I love horror films. But I understand, and I think most kids understand, that those are fictional moments. What I worry about here is this blurring of a Jesse Ventura type moment where he is either wrestler or is he the governor? Which person happens to be running? And the same with, we could say the same with Donald Trump. Is he the reality TV star? Is he the billionaire mogul? We don't know. And because of that, those lines get blurred and kids, I think, get confused.
Well, Dr. Steve Schlossman is the Associate Director of the MGH Clay Center for Young Healthy Minds. He's an assistant professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, and his recent post on WBUR's Common Health blog is called Parents Can and Must Talk About Ugly 2016 Politics with Kids. We've got a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. Dr. Schlossman, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we didn't get to a bunch of you who wanted to call in and share your thoughts, so write up your comments at radioboston.org and let us know how you're navigating the 2016 race with your kids. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll be back in a minute. This is Radio Boston.